بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسنة المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن مغيرة البردزبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب قول الله تعالى أنفقوا من طيبات ما كسبتم. Most respected elders and friends, today we shall discuss three topics. The first is giving sadaqah and charity as a business practice. The second, an effective prescription to increase a person's wealth. And the third, credit-related transactions. In regard to credit-related transactions, let us consider some points. Is it permissible to have two prices for one item? A cash price and a credit price. For example, if a person wishes to purchase a fridge, the cash price would be 4,000 rands, but the credit price would be 5,000 rands. There's two prices in one, one cash price, one credit price. Is it permissible or not? Second, if it is permissible, what are the terms and conditions for that? And with that, if it is permissible, then what is the difference between an interest-bearing transaction where a person is paying interest in lieu of time? And the credited transaction, you're also paying an excess amount of money in lieu of time. So what is the difference between an interest-bearing transaction and the excess in a credit transaction? Second point, what is the Sharia's view on HPs, higher purchases? Is it permissible or not? And if it's not permissible, why not permissible? And the third point, if a person happened to buy items on credit, he's paying on installments. Often, a debtor, he would fault on his installments. And very often, the creditor, especially people in the business, they face difficulties and hardship with people not making timely payments. So is there any Sharia alternative to make a person pay on time? And what are the alternatives and what are the incentives to that? The first topic that we are discussing is giving sadaqah and charity as a business practice. In the context of our discussion, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi presents an ayat of the Quran Kareem in which he says, "Anfiqu min tayyibati ma kasabtum," which means Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, spend from the pure wealth that you have earned. Spend from the pure wealth which you have earned. Through this verse, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi encourages us to make giving sadaqah and charity as a business practice. In our business, we have various expenses. Sometimes we have to pay our light bills, we have to pay our water bills, telephone bills, we have to pay the accountants, we have to pay the employees, you have to pay for marketing, for advertisements. So as part of all those bills, also include sadaqah and charity in that. And there's lots of benefit in giving sadaqah and charity in business or as a business practice. First and foremost, when a person does trade, business, say that the environment, the corporate environment or the environment in the business world is very harsh. You have to negotiate with a person. You have to deal and wheel with a person. At times, you may speak a lie or something close to a lie. You may make a promise, you may not fulfill the promise. And that causes filth in our income. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned the hadith narrated from Qais ibn Abi Gharaza, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once came to the marketplace, to the business people in the marketplace, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave them advice. He told to them, Ya ma'ashara tujjar, a group of businessmen, Inna shaytana wal ithma yahzurani al-bay'. Shaytan and sin, they include your transactions. Sometimes, shaitan, our nafs, we do certain things that is not sharia compliant. That takes away the barakah and the blessing in the business. That contaminates our income. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, shubu bay'akum bis sadaqah. Mix up your transactions. Contribute to your transaction by giving sadaqah and charity. By giving sadaqah and charity, the dirt and the filth that is in the business will then be removed. Second benefit in giving sadaqah and charity, at times in our business transactions, we face lots of challenges. Sometimes the people under us, our employees trouble us. Or at times, you may have ordered some goods, it has not reached timeously. And worst of all, if the taxman is on you. Various challenges a person goes through. By giving sadaqah and charity, the bala, the musibah that's in the business, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala removes it. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reported to have mentioned, Inna sadaqah tudfi'u ghadab al-rab. When you give sadaqah and charity, it removes the anger and the wrath of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Third benefit of giving sadaqah and charity, that it brings barakah. It brings blessing in the business. In fact, it was a habit of our pious predecessors. They would actually go and earn income, earn money to give sadaqah and charity. It's mentioned about once Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a beggar came to him and asked him for some sadaqah and charity. So he sent Hazrat Hassan or Hazrat Hussein to the house of Hazrat Fatima and told Hazrat Fatima that 6 coins that are in the house, give that away in sadaqah and charity. So Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, but we have no food in the house, we have no other income, and we are supposed to buy some basic needs of the house with that money. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala gave advice to Hazrat Fatima that until and unless you don't have more tawakkul and reliance on Allah more than what is in your position, your iman is not complete. Give it away in sadaqah and charity. So Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala gave 6 dirhams away in sadaqah and charity. Now, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu went out in the marketplace. He saw one person selling a horse. He asked the person what the price of the horse. He said, 140 dirhams. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala told him, look, I don't have cash, I want to buy it on credit. Would you agree? The person agreed. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala got a horse in his possession. And shortly thereafter, he came across one person that was looking for a horse. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala asked him, you want to buy the horse? He agreed. He says, 200 dirhams cash. So he accepted that. 140 dirhams, he paid the creditor out, and 60 dirhams he sent it to Hazrat Fatima. In the beginning of the day, he gave 6 dirhams. At the end of the day, in the house he got 60 dirhams. Hazrat Fatima asked, where the 60 dirhams came from? See, don't you know that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said, Man ja'a bil hasana falahu ashru amsaliha. You give one, Allah multiplies it in 10. You give 6 in the morning, at the end of the day, Allah has given you 60. One benefit of giving sadaqah and charity is that it takes away greed from the business. That greediness, because the business world is such, you started off with 100, in a few moments it came to thousands, and short moment it comes into millions, and then it never ends. You want more and more and more. Once, Sheikh Fariduddin Attar, he was a sheikh, great spiritual person, but before that, he was in the business field, selling fragrances, the best of perfumes. So one person came to the shop, and he started to look at the various glasses, or the various containers of the perfume. He was looking at it, inspecting. So Sheikh Fariduddin Attar asked him, brother, do you want something? As when a customer comes, he looks around, then you as a courtesy will ask him, brother, do you want something? Then I'm just looking. Then that person kept on looking for a while again. Sheikh Fariduddin Attar went to him again. You didn't find what you're looking for. So now I'm looking, still looking. Then, third time when he approached him, Sheikh Fariduddin Attar told, that person told to Sheikh Fariduddin, I'm looking at these perfume bottles, and I'm just wondering, when that time comes for your death, for you to leave this world, then how your life will be taken away, because your life is so attached to every container, every bottle, the design, the pattern, it's locked into every one of these bottles. So, Sheikh Fariduddin Attar told him, what are you worried about how my life will be taken away? The same way the way your life will be taken away. See, you want to see how my life is taken away? That person just lied down. They see, my life will be taken away like this. He read, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. His life was taken away. Sheikh Fariduddin Attar got a shock. This is how people prepare themselves for the akhirat. And here I'm in business, attached myself so much in business, what will happen if I get in a state of ghaflat? And the fifth benefit of giving sadaqah and charity as a business practice is that our business is not only for our worldly benefit, it is our investment for the akhirat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, اِخْتَنِمْ خَمْسًا قَبْلَ خَمْسٍ. Value 5 things before 5 things. And among the 5 things, one Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, غِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَكْرِكَ. Your richness, your wealth before you become poor. Whilst you have that wealth, give it away in sadaqah, give it away in charity. These are the 5 benefits that are prescribed and 5 benefits for a person giving sadaqah and charity as a business practice. Let us proceed to the hadith where Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi present the hadith. The hadith is narrated from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Qala an-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أَنفَقَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ مِنْ طُعَامِ بَيْتِهَا غَيْرَ مُفْسِدَةٍ كَانَ لَهَا أَجْرُهَا بِمَا أَنفَقَتْ وَلِزَوْجِهَا بِمَا كَسَبَ وَلِلْخَادِمِ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ لَا يَنْقُصُ بَعْدُهُمْ أَجْرَ بَعْدٍ شَيْئًا. The translation of the hadith is, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when a woman, here it refers to the wife, when a woman, that is the wife, when she spends from the food of the house, that is, she gives it away in sadaqah and charity without causing destruction to it. In one explanation, she doesn't give it in inappropriate places, or that she doesn't just empty the house and give everything away from the sadaqah and charity from the house. She preserves certain things in the interest of the husband. Now that she gave sadaqah and charity, then for her will be the reward of what she spent. The husband will get the reward for what he has earned. And the treasurer, the person that normally keeps the wealth, he will also get the same reward, and nobody's reward will be decreased from another person's reward. Complete ajr and reward. Through this, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi proves, see, the husband worked, he earned, and his wife has given sadaqah and charity. So he will also get the ajr, he will get the reward for it. And here, because he probably instructed his wife to give sadaqah and charity, he has a active role in giving sadaqah and charity, he will get complete ajr and he will get complete reward, although the wife has given that, giving the sadaqah and charity. The second hadith, Hammam narrates, قال سمعت أبا هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا أنفقت المرأة من كسب زوجها من غير أمره فلها نصف أجره. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrated, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when a woman spends from the earning of a husband without the express permission of the husband, then for her will be half the reward of the sadaqah and charity. In this case, the husband hasn't given express order, but he hasn't told her to give sadaqah and charity, but just that there's general permission, understanding that he wouldn't mind giving sadaqah and charity. In this case, she will get half the ajr, she will get half the reward. From both these hadiths, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi indicates that see, the husband earned money and is giving it in sadaqah and charity. In the context of our discussion, businessmen in the business, they should make giving sadaqah and charity as part of the business practice. Second topic, Babu man ahabbal basta fi rizq. An Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, man sarrahu ay yubsata lahu rizquhu aw yunsa' fi atharihi falyasil rahimah. Second topic is an effective prescription of how to increase our wealth. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala narrates, he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who wishes that there be, that his rizq be expanded, that means there be barakah in his rizq and his sustenance, or his life be increased, he have a longer life, he should maintain family ties. Maintaining family ties in this hadith is an effective way of a person's life increasing. In fact, in one hadith, Sulaiman ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala narrates, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sadaqatu ala al-miskin sadaqa, wa sadaqa ala dhir-raham sadaqa wasila. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, when a person happens to give sadaqa and charity to a poor person, that is sadaqa. You'll get a reward for sadaqa. But if you have to give sadaqa and charity to a family member, it could be your wife's family, your own family, your cousins, your uncles, your aunties, people right around us. Some of our ulama mentioned, you don't have to go far to earn Jannah. You can earn Jannah with the people right around you, your family, people that are right around you. You could earn your Jannah through that. Nabi Kareem SAW mentioned, you give sadaqah to a family member, you get double reward for that. You get the reward of sadaqah and you get the reward of maintaining family ties. One of the blessings of giving sadaqah and charity to family people is that the person will see the barakah in his own children. And look at the narrator, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His mother was Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was known for her generosity to everyone, to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to family members. To the extent that once she came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, make dua for Anas, he's your khadim, he serves you. So Nabi Kareem SAW made dua of barakah and blessings for Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, Anas radiallahu ta'ala was so much of barakah. His mother was generous, but the effect and the barakah of the mother's generosity was exhibited in the life of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Apart from the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for him. He used to have, in his orchard in Madinah to Munawwara, other people's orchard used to bear fruits once a year. In the orchard of Anas radiallahu ta'ala, the fruits used to bear twice a year. And there were certain plants, certain flowers there that used to actually give the smell of Rayhan and the smell of basil. Beautiful smell used to come out from his garden. So this is the second topic. Third topic, Babu Shiran Nabiyyi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam bin Nasi'a. Credit related transactions. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also bought items on credit. The hadith, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اشترى طعاما من رجل يهودي إلى أجل ورهنه درعا من حديد. عائشة رضي الله عنها said that النبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم purchased food. According to some narrations, we understand grain. There was no food in the house. So النبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم went out. He purchased food from a Jewish person. And he had no cash. So النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم bought it on credit. The Jewish person wanted some collateral.
to ensure that he would get payment. So Nabi Sassam pawned his steel armor in exchange of that credit. And there's a second hadith very similar to this. Before we discuss the issue of credit related transactions, an Anas ibn Malik, annahu masha ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam bi khubzin sha'irin wa ihalatin sanikhatin. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that he went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam with bread made out of barley and old oil. Ihala actually refers to that fat that through which oil comes out, and sanikha, something that gives a bad odor. So we would translate it as old oil that used to give up by bad odor. وَلَقَدْ رَهَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ دِرْعًا لَهُ بِالْمَدِينَ إِنْدَ يَهُودِيٍ وَأَخَذَ مِنْهُ شَعِيرًا لِأَهْلِهِ. There was no food in the house of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in order to fulfill the need of the family for his dependents, for his wife, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he pawned his armor by a Jewish person, and in exchange of that armor, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took barley for his family. وَلَقَدْ سَمِعْتُهُ. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, مَا أَمْسَى إِنْدَ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ سَاعُ بُرِّنْ وَلَا سَاعَ حَبٍّ وَإِنَّ عِنْدَهُ لَتِسْعَ نِسْوَةٍ. That the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did not spend, they did not have the night with one saw of wheat, with wheat, and neither one saw of barley. There was no food at all in the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereas at that time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 9 wives. Imagine, no food in the house of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Great sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sense of responsibility that as a husband, you go out and you go and earn an income to provide for your wife, to provide for your children, even if it means for you to buy items on credit and make arrangement to pay the creditor out. From this, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi refers to credit-related transactions. It is permissible to purchase an item on credit. Now, reverting to the questions that I have asked, is it permissible to purchase, to have two prices for one item, a cash price and a credit price? Example I gave was a fridge. Fridge is 4,000 rand and a credit price would be 5,000 rand. It is permissible on condition before concluding the deal, you finalize one of the two types, one of the two modes of transaction. You tell to the seller that it is a cash deal, 4,000 rand, that's it. So the implication of a cash deal would then flow. Or you tell the person that I'm buying it on credit. And I will pay 5,000 rand over a period of time. So you can't have parallel prices, cash and credit in one transaction. You've got to finalize one of the two. Either it's a cash price or either it's a credit price. Second, what is the difference between a interest-bearing transaction where you are paying excess in a lieu of time and the excess you are paying in a credit transaction? Some people have the misconception, well, both of them are the same. That is incorrect, and that is not having proper understanding of the law of riba. In interest, it is money in exchange of money. And that surplus we are paying is in lieu of time, directly in lieu of time, and that too it is money in exchange of money. In this particular case, it is not money in exchange of money, it is money in exchange of a commodity. You're buying an item, on one side there's an item, there's a commodity, and the other side you are paying for it. And yes, of course, you increase the price in consideration of the time, but the final price that you are giving is not in lieu of the time, it's in lieu of the commodity, it's in lieu of the item. And just by way of example, at times you could also increase the price due to various considerations. Sometimes you go here to a nearby shop, you buy for chips, maybe 5 rand, etc. Go to the airport, the same chips, probably you're paying 20 rand. Simply, it's because of the location. It is because where it is situated. Now, the excess money you are paying, that is in exchange, it is due to a consideration. But It is actually in exchange of the packet of chips, not because of anything else. It's just a consideration. Oh, for example, you get one item which is, does not have a brand. That item is cheaper. And same item, but it just have a brand name on it. The price of it is increased. Now, the increase of the price is because of the brand name. It's in consideration of the item. But the excess money you pay, it is actually in lieu of the item. Likewise, oh, sometimes you go to a normal general dealer, you buy shoes, probably the shoes may be 100 rand. But go to another shop that has a brand name. First, they'll call you, Hazrat, come. You got a sofa, they'll make you sit there. They'll have a stool there. They'll make you stretch your legs out. Same shoes we could buy to a normal shop. Yeah, you're going to now pay 500 rand. Just because of the comfort and the way it is, the location of the shop. Likewise here, in a credit transaction, that time is a consideration in increasing the price, but the extra money that you are giving is not in lieu of the time, it is in lieu of the actual item that you are purchasing. Third question, well, if that is the case, what is the difference between HP, higher purchases? Now, in an HP, you get a cash price, you get a credit price. Now, from the Shariat point, there in an HP, you are not concluding. You are not conclusively saying it's a cash price or a credit price. You're buying the item and you pay in installments. Now, it's either you take advantage of the full term and you pay in installments, or if you have to pay ahead of time, now immediately the price will be decreased. If you have to pay beyond the time, then because of the delay of the time, you'll be charged interest on it. Now, that is a different issue. And actually, when analyzing from the Shariat point of view, it's a different thing, HP. Many people have the misunderstanding by saying HPs are permissible and the final price is determined. That is not so. And that you're having a misunderstanding, especially according to the accounting laws. I have understood and I have researched that HP, when it is recorded in the books that excess money, it is recorded as interest. Furthermore, from the Shariat point of view, it is mentioned in the hadith in Tirmizi, in Kitab al-Wuyu, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bay'ataini fi bay'a. Two transactions in one simultaneously is prohibited. For example, you can't do two transactions in one. Buying and selling, and for example, hiring in one. Now in HP, if you look at it, it is hiring. It is a hire, it's a ijara. You're hiring it. And according to them, the transaction is only concluded when you make the final payment. Then only the purchase takes place. So here, it is a ijara hiring and it is a purchasing. Both of them taking place simultaneously. And according to hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prohibited that. You either do a hire an item with that you can't purchase, or either you purchase it and you don't do a hiring. In a HP, there's two transactions in one and therefore it would not be permissible. And the last point is that if a person happened to purchase item on credit, and if the debtor does not make timeous payments, so what deterrent can we use in him making timeous payments? First and foremost, there's a concept of rahan in Shariat, collateral, where you give an item as a collateral, you tell to a person, I'm selling on credit, but I want an item as a collateral, and when you pay me completely, I'll return your collateral. You don't pay on time, then this item I will sell it to recover my money. This concept of rahan, collateral, we'll be discussing in much detail at a later stage. Second, another effective way is that you tell to your debtor, or you tell to the person that's owing you money, that you make timeous payments, I will give you 10% discount. Or 15% discount, whatever the case may be, and when you make timeous payment, you give him that discount. The third thing, at the time of the contract, when doing the contract, concluding the transaction, the credit transaction, you can put a clause there in which you state that if you fail in any one of the installments, if the person, let's say, purchased a motor vehicle, and he made 10 installments, on the 11th installment he has failed, but according to a contract, you can put a contract, you fault on any one installment, then the entire amount will become due immediately. And if the person now, if he can't pay one installment, he faltered on one, where is he going to come up with the entire money? Now immediately you would have right to repossess the item, and then the law of repossession in Shariat would then apply. These are some effective ways to overcome delayed transactions and a delayed installment in a credit transaction. We make dua that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala accept these kind of durus, Allah put our mu'amalat right, and Almighty Allah Tabarak grant us khair and barakah in our tijarat, in our business. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Anybody has any questions, then you could write it down, the box is behind. I will study it, and inshallah, either by email, if your contact details are there, or otherwise next week, if I feel irrelevant, I will discuss it in the next majlis, inshallah. Subhanallah, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, inshallah, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.